The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Good morning, you're on the Deadline Report with Ben Pidgeon Investigates, Kia ora Fresh FM. And today we are going to be talking a little bit about, well, we're going to talk about a few other things. I'm going to start this morning with basically talking about the situation in Nepal, and that, we were told, the people in Nepal have had enough of corruption and of uprising. In fact, let's backpack. First of all, we were shown on mainstream media the Nepalese uprising, and we were told this is because of internet censorship. That was by the mainstream media. Then the next analyst came along, which came from predominantly Generation Z platforms, which were telling us that, no, this is about the Generation Z have had enough of institutionalized and corruption within Nepal. And, you know, there's somewhere in the back of my mind was going, wait a minute, something's not scratching here, coming, adding up here, because I always seem to remember Nepal was the country that when they did assessment on a country based not on its GDP, but on its they actually have an index system for a gross happiness index. It indicated that it was a country that was, generally speaking, the most content of its citizens in terms of quality of life, et cetera, et cetera. So I was going, well, that doesn't kind of gel with all the stuff that I've ever read about Nepal. And then the next set was a friend of mine who is a little bit down the right and tends to believe in things which are not my bag, baby. He started saying, he's in Nepal and he's watching the Maoist insurrectionists be, rooted by the wake Generation Z. And I went, yeah, okay. And then I started to think about this and went, okay, so in actual fact, it's not a Generation Z uprising. What it actually is it's like pretty much like the Arab Spring and the Tulip Revolution and the Orange Revolution, which these were all revolutions that were instigated using social media as a form of social engineering in conjunction with basically intelligence operations to bring about a regime change. Now, for all those people out there that love to point out that Jacinda Ardern is a dirty, filthy communist, well, actually, she got a postgraduate at Bingham University, where she was the president of the youth arm of the International Socialist Organization, which the World Wide Web Socialist website, just to give you a source that's predominantly is social leaning or socialist lean, not socialist leaning, it is socialist, call a spade what it is. And it points out that the ISO actually imploded because it later turned out that what was actually happening was the CIA were using the ISO to carry out regime change. So the idea was that they were using in countries that were where they were like maybe supported by China or by other countries that weren't allied to the US, and this would become a way that they say, oh, even the socialists on campus don't like those people, and then give the idea that it wasn't actually a left wing right wing thing or a CIA China thing, and that it all came spontaneously from the youth vote. Not the case at actually all, and of course, just for the record again, that postgraduate degree was actually provided by the Masonic Lodge, which I always thought was a little bit hypocritical in the context that it came after Jacinda Ardern had done a review with Sir Ronnie Flanagan, the guy that basically buried the lie of where the weapons of mass destruction were in Iraq for Tony Blair, the neoliberal government, that had incorporated a lot of Waikato and Victoria University, handpicked by the Labour Party, the new Labour Party, to help sell them neoliberalism. So, neoliberalism has captured our economy. Now it's capturing our brains and our academia. So basically, they sent her there and she did this really good job selling, basically destroyed small businesses. And they then put her in charge or put her involved in the police review, which came out of Operation Tiberius, which was basically mass corruption that they had within the London Met and then throughout the UK police, which is caused by the Brotherhood Network. So they brought an investigation and they said, well, actually what we're going to do is we're going to replace it with the Independent Complaints Authority, which was brought in to make sure that our police were not corrupt, and was brought in around about the 70s, when about the same time we inherited all these cops from the UK, so did Australia, that were basically so bent that they weren't coping there, so they all shipped them off to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and they gave it to the IBCA, which Peter Gibbons, who's kind of a private detective who works for ACC and got into trouble because he was giving information to the police to basically investigate people down in Dunedin, and they actually got the wrong address, blah, blah, blah. But he remembers saying in the book, Stoned on Duty, Ghost written by Peter Williams, but Ghost written by Bruce Ainsley. Oh, the IPCA is just there to whitewash the police, and you know, you can't get any results out of it. Just one more of these multiple confirmations that we should by now have an actual independent complete complaints authority, but nobody wants to give us to us. But anyway, so that was the background of Jacinda G's, you know, lefty credentials. They weren't very lefty, and that's generally what's happening. You know, a lot of these tulip and orange revolutions that are taking place is that they are being supported by youth vote, which is actually more neoliberalism. So what that basically means is it's liberal on the outside, and then it identifies with identity politics, but it doesn't actually give a rat's ass about the people at the bottom or the working class. So it's all pro-corporate at the end of the day. And that's why you get places like the Ukraine accepting a loan that's going to bankrupt them when they were actually offered one from Russia. But they said again, they use social media to engineer the situation. They had a coup d'etat in the Ukraine in 2014. We've got the very famous phone call by the US ambassador admitting that, yes, actually, they were basically overthrown in a government that was elected by representative vote that was carried out by, you know, like international observers. And bang. And it turns out that Nepal is exactly the same situation. So, you know, again, just to clarify, like when you go to the Shipping News Now, which is Shipping News number 40, I'm going to include a YouTube from an analyst. And I've got to watch the whole thing myself. I've only watched the first 15 minutes. But in the first 15 minutes, this guy just absolutely nails it. It's a one-hour documentary, and I'm definitely going to watch it because this guy really knows what he's talking about. I don't know what his politics are, but it doesn't matter. That's the point, is facts are facts. And when I say facts, I mean a fact that's actually backed up by, you know, three multiple sources that come from independent sources that aren't all coming from the same algorithm. Which leads me to the other thing is, you know, I find quite funny because it started off as a joke. You know, so I was watching, there's all these sort of, and again, you know, you have to kind of think, why do these algorithms suddenly become popular? But there's a lot of algorithms out there about Generation X, you know, just taking the piss out of ourselves. That's the thing why I liked about these videos. We weren't trying to blame or point the finger at anyone. We were just talking about what it was like to be a latchkey kid growing up in the 1980s. And beyond the jokes, you know, it's talking about a lot of the trauma that we dealt from kind of growing up and watching for things like the Cold War, and watching just the lies that were being told to us constantly by the mainstream media, and becoming quite actually cynical in situation. And, you know, we had this collective sigh when we actually ended the Cold War, which unfortunately the same gremlins are now actually getting us sucked back into. But, they're using this social media to social engineering us. So anyway, these Generation X videos were laughing at us. And then it became really popular for the Generation Z to try and like, you know, roast the Generation X for these videos, which always basically failed really, really badly because, number one, none of these Generation Z guys are actually that particularly educated. So they end up just getting their facts wrong, or they don't really know what they're talking about because they're used to getting information from little headlines and memes on Facebook. They're not like Generation X, where we actually used to read books and we do read books and we actually are, you know, good at studying documentaries and material that takes us more than an hour. Then, you know, we can't multitask your hell. Try to get us two things at once, and we're absolutely fail. But we are good at actually being effectively, you know, focusing on a task to its end. We had to be, you know. And these Generation Z guys will come along and they'll roast it. And you sit there and you watch them, and they're either, you know, excessively overweight or anorexic and clearly on depression pills or anti-fatigue pills. And you're going, you guys aren't even going to make 50. That's the hard reality. You guys are clearly showing the strains or crack. And you want to roast us. Good one. Yeah. Go away. Piss off, snowflake. And it's also that thing of, you know, the other thing is, you know, when I saw this, where he's like, he's turning around and he's trying to like nail Generation X for free market economics, which we actually gain. But free market is kind of like, ironically, it's the politics that neoliberalism actually keeps selling as acceptable to carry on this trickle-down effect, which is clearly not actually working. We didn't actually invent that. That actually was a byproduct of the boomer generation. So Generation X keeps on getting, Z keeps on zinging them for things that actually the generation, the boomers did. Or, you know, they go, what did you guys ever do? And I go, you know, and one of the women line turns around and says, well, we did Google, and I'm pretty sure your mum was Generation X. So when it comes to what did you do? And poor old Generation Z comes back to him and goes, oh, mum jokes. Mum, we're getting very sick and tired of you doing mum. And on that note, I think we might go with a classic comedy line that only really sums up, only this can genuinely sum up what Generation is all about. You've watched this, you know all the lives that we've lived, and it's, here's one for you, Al Bundy, the only man that can kick Chuck Norris's ass. House and wife, horse and carriage.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Love and marriage, love and marriage, it's an institute you can't disparage. Ask the local gentry and they will say it's elementary. Try to separate them, it's an illusion. Try and you will only come to this conclusion. Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. Dad was told by mother, you can't have one, you can't have none, you can't have one without the other. Separate them, it's an illusion. Try and you will only come to this conclusion. Love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. Dad was told by mother, you can't have one, you can't have one without the other.
Good morning. You're on the Deadline Report with Ben Digin Investigates, Kira Fresh FM. And we've been talking about Generation Z's revolting for their right to be brainwashed. And I'm just going to get into a little kind of like background here. Like, okay, but let's go back to Nepal. So Nepal, the first lie that was being told here in the story was that they were protesting against basically the government deciding to censor the internet. My undertaking of it was actually what Nepal was actually talking about was they were going, let's get rid of it all. Let's just scrap this because this tool allows, we don't control the volume switch on it, not us or you, I mean us, the government, you, the citizens. This actually gets controlled by tech-based companies and they're actually kind of like largely using this tool to effectively manipulate our citizens and you know, giving them the algorithms they want you. I mean, that's, everyone already complains about mass surveillance as a tool for like, oh, we can see what you're up to. To me, that's never been an issue. Okay, cool. You look at my browser history and other than that, I mean, I don't really do anything. So good luck to you. What more concerns me is about the fact that these tools can be used to teach, and as Julian Assange points out, they can be used to study us and learn how to tell us better lies. And that's what kind of the Nepalese government were really kind of drawing out against. So, you know, and again, generations that have jumped on this to show that actually, you know, that they can make change and effectively, when in actual fact, they're being played like the puppet. And it's not their fault because, again, if we go back to, let's say we go back to early, late 1990s, to early 2000s, you know, around the beginning of the generation, Arab Springs and the Tulip Brigades. But what we also seen was, we were seeing some phenomenal citizen journalism take place in places like Bosnia and Rwanda, where social media was at that time being used to actually demonstrate the brutality and the tyranny and the draconianism of governments. Now, what changed was increasingly, and the Trump administration, so if you know, the Trump administration, they started, and it's not black and white, but the Trump administration started to roll out the first ideas of the encroachment upon net neutrality. And again, the Generation X were at the forefront, as we were protesting against Codex Alimentus, at the forefront, and not only against protesting, but stopping basically that from taking place. So no, get your hands off net neutrality. No, you're not going to get a full monopoly over food and medicine. So when they say, what if Generation X did? Well, we did actually hold the line very successfully, including ending the Cold War, basically for nearly 20 years. So our generation, we were very much the quiet achievers, if you like. Trump basically wrote a net neutrality, and then what we then get taking place, which coincides very much into around about 2019 with the Christchurch shooting. Now, the Christchurch shooting, what, as an example beforehand, was I turned around and you know, did a lot of stuff on social media, protesting against the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. My constitutional arguments were ignored by the Labour Party and the neoliberalism fanaticalism, which, you know, unfortunately, Generation Z's, because they don't read books, they don't know about Rogernomics, they don't bother to actually look at actually what the history of Labour's own party is. It's embracing of communications experts, which is another word for spin doctors. And again, to be fair, ACT and National do this as well. So I'm an anarchist. My joke is, how do you tell when politicians are lying? Their lips are moving. But they sold us this lie. And what took place during the Christchurch shooting was we were told that, oh no, right-wing extremists and all this hate people are using the internet to spread hate. And as I explained to you, in cases like Rwanda and Bosnia, that actually wasn't what they were afraid of. And to my mind, they weren't very successful. And during the TPA and the New Zealand flag, I was getting it up to 135,000 people a week coming to my pages. It's now down to about 400 a month. And again, you look at my hits on this radio show, it's one of the most listened to radio shows on all the DJ platforms. Out of 300, I'm right up there. So there's nothing wrong with people having a problem with my content, but the algorithm has turned down to me. And that came about when I turned around and started, you know, talking about the constitutional arguments against the TPA, which were picked up by the North American Indians, and not saying that they picked it up, but they had worked it out themselves and they were using the same arguments, and they successfully put a monkey wrench in the TPA and they stalled it. So it's now the comprehensive CPTP, whatever it's called. It's basically TPA. It still has the dreaded investment state settlement dispute clauses in there, but they're kind of in a dormant, comatose situation until they can remove, using left and right wing, tag wrestling, enough to get us, push us away from the idea that we're a Westminster government and we start embracing republicanism, which uses international, the New York conventions, which basically have a completely definition about what family or whānau and hapa was and rights are. In fact, under the neoliberalism system, we don't have any rights. That's only the rights that we have, the corporates. And so that's why you might notice very increasingly the police can't seem to understand between what a prepper is and they can't understand between what a sovereign citizen was. So, for example, media have tried to insinuate that Shane Christie was a sovereign citizen. No, he wasn't. He was somebody that was really fed up with the bureaucracy and the corruption of the Nelson City Council, which anybody who knows the Nelson City Council will understand. But to be fair, they're no different from the Dunedin City Council or the Invercargill City Council, any council that suffered from the deregulation of regional government from central government. Another gift of the Rogernomics neoliberal government, which we won't talk about because we have a mainstream media that doesn't know how to talk about the past anymore. Again, one of the wonderful tricks of neoliberalism is to erase the past and change the meaning of the language. So, for example, the Global Migration Pact, which was people starting to go, hey, wait a minute, we don't really think this is what you're saying it is. Well, it isn't, because it was invented by Mike Moore, a Christchurch MP, who was very famous for using gangs to distract whenever Labour had a problem, and he was a salesman for neoliberalism. He'd use gangs to cause a problem, and suddenly people would be talking about crime and not about the problem. But he had also used those same strategies to sell this thing during 1995 called the Worldwide, or a World Without Walls in Seattle, which caused a riot amongst the Generation X brand of left wing, because we could see it, that it was scab labor. It was basically about undermining indigenous rights and cultures and indigenous sovereignty. And it was also basically about basically opening a free check to free market, which is really what it was about, was just an unmitigated license for greed. So they burnt, well, they hung Michael Moore's effigy. They rioted. Woody Harrelson created a movie, what was in a movie called Battle for Seattle. And then they reinvented it as the Global Migration Pact, which is about the time that Mike Moore was no longer with the World Trade Organization. He was now actually with the United Nations as the envoy for global migration. And of course, then they started writing on the weapons, Global Migration Pact, just so that the weapons during the Christchurch shooting, so you should be absolutely certain about who was responsible. Just like they tried to kind of write on a couple of shootings in the United States, which have all gone very wrong because the narrative didn't quite kind of work as they planned. But, you know, they were using the same strategy because, you know, they wanted to make sure you knew who the blame was. So, you know, we suddenly got this idea that a lot of the neoliberal new generations, Generation Z, think that the Global Migration Pact's wonderful. It's going to create diversity, inclusivity. No, that's only what you think if you were in an upper middle, upper class, probably white, and don't understand the impact that this is actually going to cause to Indigenous. And it's actually highly bloody racist once you actually really understand how it works. Boy, is that one going to get me in trouble. So, of course, they brought up this idea. Jacinda Ardern, I told you all about how her social progressive grades are not as good as she makes out. And so she said, oh, we're going to have the Christchurch call, which was going to be backed by the United Arab Emirates and I think PayPal, which had all sorts of dubious military industrial complex treatment, and Saudi Arabia. Of course, United Arab Emirates, you know, go Team Emirates, Helen Clark, member of Team Emirates. Let's not talk about their genocide or their support of Israel and their murder in Palestine. No. And we don't, Generation Z, don't go looking too hard at our billionaires' yacht race. No, instead of including Saudi Arabia, and of course, Saudi Arabia turned out that all these things that were being sold again in line with the Global Migration Pact and the United Nations 17 points of sustainability by Helen Clark when she was the United Nations Development Programme, turns out that they were all a mask for a plan for Saudi Arabia had to basically increase the patriarch and the military industrial complex's control over its own people, which would also include basically singling out the rainbow community for very, very harsh, horrific treatment. And again, even Helen Clark has had to come out middle and go, the United Nations doesn't work because it keeps on getting hijacked by the corporates, which is what I've been saying for the last 20 years. And finally, it's actually all coming out that yes, actually being opposed to the, I'm not saying I don't oppose climate change. My problem was that climate change got hijacked just in the way that, you know, language and history is raised and language is reinvented. So then see, they brought out the Christchurch call funded by these people that we now know actually have got terrible human rights records because they weren't interested in hate speech. What they were interested in was using the internet to lie to you. You know, so again, afterwards, of course, you know, the kids supported, the Christchurch call continues to be supported by Chris Luxton, the man that Jacinda hired to work out why Air New Zealand crashed and lost hundreds of millions of dollars when Chris Luxton was the CEO. And then he, of course, gave her a very nice wage. College, isn't it jolly, golly, gosh, nice up the top there? So now they're actually, you know, they're getting the Generation Z all rolled up because in Australia they're going to take away their internet. You know, that's the first stage. The reality is what they want to do is get us all going, brain, yay, put shackles on us, yay, let's not read books. Yeah, we want our internet. We want the right to be controlled and brainwashed. Again, because, you know, when I talked to you about the 135,000, I've gone down to 400 on my own social media page. Go and have a look at a company called Cordia and go and look at specifically the security arm. And what you'll find is that there's a whole bunch of people working in it that have backgrounds from the United States Department of Intelligence Agency, the DIA, from MI6. And they are psychologists and they are social engineers. And what they're actually doing is and Cordia is kind of the group that handles, like, you know, the IPA addresses, and they get to decide whose volume switch gets turned on and whose volume switch gets turned off. And they're also very good at using algorithms, using those social engineering and psychology backgrounds to basically teach, you know, to lie to us, basically, and to pull off spin doctoring. So the Global Migration Pact, which was, as explained to you, is what was originally Mike Moore's World Without Walls, suddenly gets turned in this wonderful thing about diversity and inclusivity. Although in actual fact, those words don't mean what you think they are. What they basically mean is you have the right that they can basically have you working as scab labor or send you anywhere around the world, and that you don't actually have any rights because you're just a consumer of this system of neoliberalism, which believes that basically corporates are the only ones to have rights. And literally, you know, that's why the Green parties, when they were actually, you know, caring about the actual, you know, not worrying about identity politics or playing, you know, the right quite often comes out with things to and fire a helter-skelter chaos situation, so we're polarised, and the Greens are the other side of that ping-pong ball, and they buy into it. So instead of actually talking basically about, you know, the environment, which is originally what their platform was, or talking about these trade deals, I mean, like, you never actually heard the Greens oppose the TPA when they were actually with Labor. It was only afterwards, and it was kind of repeating what I was saying after the fact, when we'd already signed the TPPA. So, you know, I'm Greens Act. I think we're all, unfortunately, in the grips of either neoconservatives or neoliberalism. And the answer, sure as hell, you're not going to find on the internet. So I suggest what you turn around and do is start printing your own little, like, newsletters, start reading books, start having film nights, and start realizing that the internet is not going to be your savior, but it probably is going to be your handcuffs. This is Ben Vigen on The Deadline Report, care of Fresh FM, the greatest little radio show in the whole Southern Hemisphere, and probably all the known hemispheres, and some hemispheres, which we don't really know, but we just like to make assumptions about.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.